I'm Farhana Sheikh and you are watching Notepad. This is a very exciting episode because we are at Expo 2020 Dubai. Behind me here is the Malaysia Pavilion and we are here during the Digital Economy Week, where this pavilion itself showcases a lot of digital companies and investment opportunities that Malaysia has to offer. Today is very exciting because we have one of the exhibitors, Global Sedekah. Global Sedekah is an Islamic fintech that focuses on effective charity and also Islamic social finance. And here with us today is the CEO, Mr. Ifran Tarmizi. How are you, Mr. Ifran?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Good, good, good. Welcome. As well. All right, so how has the expo been so far for you?
Alhamdulillah, the expo as a whole, to be honest, has been quite mind-blowing to the extent where you didn't imagine, like, before arriving how big it is. So that's as the expo as a whole. But of course, coming back to our Malaysian Pavilion, alhamdulillah, it's been quite interesting because the whole initiatives with MDEC, MGTC supporting the companies in the pavilion, we've been connected to interesting companies from all parts of the world. We ourselves have been exposed to lots of innovation in other parts of the world. So for me, it's been eye-opening. But I said earlier, initially it was mind-blowing because if you have the opportunity to take a walk around, it's quite an interesting occasion happening here right now.
I see. Okay, so before anything, right,
yep,
we want to help educate our viewers first, sure, on what does Global Sedekah stands for. So what is, sure, what is the vision here for Global Sedekah?
Right. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, mabad. So this is what I usually tell people. You want to do good, I want to do good, the brother behind the camera, all of us want to do good. But unfortunately, in the whole space of social finance, charity, sedekah, there's a lot of skepticism. We are being bombarded with WhatsApp messages, Facebook ads, help here, help there. No doubt some of them are credible, but it's going to be very difficult to filter one by one. So we hope with globalsedekah.com that we have gone through the extra mile, doing a bit of verification, due diligence on the partners that are on our platform. And the campaigns you see for whatever charity initiatives, we hope people come with that peace of mind. It's because this is what people are always wondering. If I donate to this initiative, is it getting there? So this will also lead to the next thing. Another reason why people are skeptical is because the lack of transparency. I give some funds for charity. Is it reaching the beneficiaries? Where are the updates? So part and parcel of what we do, anything you see on our platform, we ensure that the partners we work with would share the updates. Photos, videos, data, invoices, receipts, what's happening on the ground. This is how we've built trust. And with that, you know, alhamdulillah, we've been able to capture supporters from more than 80 countries. And this is where the tech element comes in. Our platform has enabled the globe to help the globe, in other words. We allow multiple international currencies. You want to donate in USD, you can. Singapore dollars, you can. British pounds. And such. Another interesting element that we've incorporated, since 2020, we've allowed for people to even donate in cryptocurrencies. So this community has been very supportive. They have, you know, I like to say, at one point, they were sitting on a pot of gold. So, you know, we need to appeal to their hearts of gold. So they were very, very supportive of a lot of campaigns. In addition to that, we're also expanding, like, you know, other ways to capture a larger audience. People can also donate in digital gold towards campaigns of their choice. So long story short, we want to make this the top of mind platform for someone who wants peace of mind. They want efficiency, they want transparency, and they want to be able to be in any part of the world to, you know, we used to be doing a lot of working from home, right? Now it's for them to do sedekah from home.
That's
inshallah,
great.
This is, yeah, Global Sedekah in a nutshell.
That's a great platform that offers, you know, sort of a one-step solution for your charity needs, right?
Exactly.
So, like you said just now, incorporating digitalization with charity or socially driven projects is definitely worthwhile. So what are some of the recent initiatives as of late that Global Sedekah has ventured into?
Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of initiatives and we have a lot of plans. But I think it's important to focus what has happened recently, at least in Malaysia, I mean, now we're physically in Dubai, but things are still happening in Malaysia in regard to the recent floods. So this was the most recent initiative that we started literally on the night when the first disaster struck. But alhamdulillah, since then, we have been able to capture supporters from more than 30 countries. And I think we've raised even close to $500,000 to support those who were affected by the recent floods. So that's something that we unfortunately had to respond to. I mean, these disasters that happen unexpectedly. But we do a lot of things in the long run. We want to help people to have long-term, perpetual rewards. Of course, there are benefits in this world. We also look for benefits in the hereafter, as you would say, your akhirah portfolio. You want to help people to build wells around the world. You want to help people to feed people around the world. Many parts of the world, there are people that are really suffering more than what we see even back home. So these are the main initiatives that we have. And of course, the best way to find what suits your appetite, we are just providing the menu. That's appetizer, main course, dessert for you. You go there and choose. I feel, inshallah, there'll be something for you. You want to plant a tree? That's a campaign for you. You want to help someone to finish education? Just visit globalsodaka.com.
That's awesome. So Malaysians will be spoiled for choice then.
I hope so. I mean, we like to eat. We look at menus. So we like to hopefully choose our menu for charity.
That's so I guess hope. Elaborating a little bit further,
sure.
Right? With COVID-19 for the past 2 years,
yep.
And also with recent calamities like the flood,
yep.
and all that. So there have been many socially driven projects and
yep.
programs.
Yep.
NGOs going out, in the spirit of, like they say, kita jaga kita.
Absolutely.
Spirit of
Absolutely.
Malaysians helping one another.
Alhamdulillah.
So how does incorporating digitalization and technology mm-hmm. Helps mobilize aid even easier? How does
right,
it help
right.
even?
I think mobilizing aid is one thing, but I want to address at least the collection for the fundraising, because alhamdulillah, as you mentioned, a lot of NGOs in Malaysia at the moment, I mean, let's focus on Malaysia first. When they do want to appeal to the crowd to help support their initiatives, and they're all great initiatives, a lot of them are kind of limited to a local payment gateway or maybe just a local bank account transfer. Alhamdulillah, that's a good way to support. But technology has enabled for those same NGOs that want to reach a larger audience. They come to our platform, they have access to, so far, supporters from more than 80 countries because our tech, our platform, allows for it. So this is one way even for the collection. But for the distribution, because we incorporate a lot of elements of helping people around the world, we also make it very easy for people like to help in some places they've never been to, but they know that people are suffering. Just a few clicks here or on your smartphone, you're able to literally help someone in another part of the region of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's technology that's helping both sides, I would say.
Okay. So when we're talking about technology,
yep.
and just a few steps, a few clicks away,
yep.
there's always a concern about transparency.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about transparency, how does Global Sedekah ensure
right.
that the impact can be seen?
Yep.
When people invest money in certain things, they want to see where the money goes.
Absolutely.
So how does transparency is ensured?
Okay, so I mean, first and foremost, transparency is important. And this is actually part of our, we have our three T's, which includes transparency. And back to what I mentioned earlier, people are skeptical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are many platforms out there where anyone can sort of start a campaign. And let's say, for example, Ifran wants to launch a campaign to raise funds to help his neighbor's kittens. There are platforms that allow for that. But how we differ from that, which leads to transparency, we do take the extra care and do a bit of due diligence and verification of partners that we onboard on a platform. So it's crucial to get the right partners from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the extra care. So it's not just any random campaigns that you see there. They've been verified by our team. And these partners, upfront, they're told, we need to understand what you do and a bit more of a clarity of your accounts and everything, documentation. But once we launch a campaign for you, you need to ensure you can share photos, videos, all these updates. So this also addresses the lack of transparency, unfortunately, in the social finance and charity sector. So we hope with that. But of course, we have some plans. Maybe we'll discuss it later in the future. where the next level of transparency is to perhaps build a platform on the blockchain. So this is, you know, something that people would be able to have that extra level of comfort, okay. Inshallah.
Talking about, you know, stuff like blockchain, mm-hmm. cryptocurrency, Bitcoin,
right.
are the so-called currency of the future, right? Yeah. I understand the organization has, you know, dabbled in services involving cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. Yeah. So why do you think it's important for you know, NGOs or Islamic fintech like yourself to move towards that direction?
Okay, so first and foremost, just want to clarify, and our internal advisor has shared that at least in Malaysian context, cryptocurrencies is not defined as a currency. It's a digital asset. So it does take on a different ruling, but I'm not going to go into that whole discussion today. But it's important that we allow this as an additional option, because as I mentioned earlier, if you're in a different parts of the world, you can donate in your own local currencies without calculating how much is it, RM to USD, RM to Singapore dollars. So we just want to cast the net wider. And as I mentioned earlier, because people are holding these cryptocurrencies, the value of some of these digital assets had gone up. I mean, it does fluctuate, but at moments when it went really high, and I'll share an actual story. There was sometime early last year, 2021, we're already in 2021, where an individual would just donate a small portion of his cryptocurrency and fully funds the campaign. So the potential is huge, and that's just one individual. And of course, we've seen the same. So the thing is, we can't deny there are a lot out there who are invested in cryptocurrencies, and they are generous. They want to help. But maybe they don't want to use the regular methods of donating. So we can't tell them, oh, thank you, you're kind-hearted, that's nothing for you.
Yeah.
We have to provide the option.
Yeah.
So we don't hold, we don't buy, we don't trade, we receive it and we reflect it for the campaign and we give it to the campaign partner on the ground. So it's just an additional option for Global Sadaqah.
So I guess now we look at the bigger picture a little bit, yeah. right? So with Islamic fintech mm-hmm. and also incorporating the charity element towards it, right?
Yeah.
So what are the challenges faced by this industry so far, you think, for Malaysia and as globally as well?
So, okay, let's take it step by step. So the whole charity sector in Malaysia, we face the challenge where, this is not going to be a popular thing to say, I personally feel there should be more regulation for the charity sector. I know there were some discussions in the past to establish a charities commission, but I don't think it has happened yet, or maybe it's happening in the background. I'm not aware. So Global Sadaqah, we want to build this platform to put that added pressure on our charity partners to really take it up to the next level. But the thing is, we are kind of basing it based on our neighboring countries or other countries with a bit more of a developed regulations or policies in the charity sector. So for me, that's one challenge, because banking, they have their regulator. Capital markets, they have their regulator. Charity, there is no set.
Yeah,
so this is one of the challenges. And of course, this is where it also leads to the issue. People will become skeptical because there's no way for them to do that cross-check. But of course, from a different perspective, even from tech perspective, I think people also looking at it as double-edged sword. The sooner that it reaches you, as I mentioned earlier, WhatsApp and Facebook, mm-hmm. everybody is doing that. And it just becomes not a very well-coordinated effort. So everyone's being spammed with everything from all angles, your emails, your WhatsApp, your Facebook. So this also, I think, unfortunately leads towards either a bit of, people will just tend to overlook these things. It's another, like, you know, someone asking for something for this thing, another ad I see, and chances are a lot of these things, people are just skipping through it. Mm. Yeah, so I think technology has, give us like choices, But I think it's bombarded us with choices that people just kind of after a while just get a bit drained and fatigued. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that's on some of the challenges that Islamic fintech and also the charity sector faces.
Yep.
As for Islamic fintech specifically, Islamic fintech is definitely expanding not just globally but in Malaysia as well. Yep. The Global Islamic Fintech Report 2021 says Malaysia is one of the top countries for a conducive environment for fintech to grow, alongside Saudi Arabia, UAE, Indonesia, and even the UK. So I guess the question here is now, how do you foresee the industry's outlook in the future? Is there enough support for a conducive environment for the industry to grow even further?
Right. I believe there's been good support, and I'll just cite some examples like of MDEC, for example. You know, they had in the past supported and made it easy for our founder of the bigger group of companies that I'm part of to be able to kickstart the initiatives of his the fintech platforms that I'm part of. So that for me, if there are more of those like-minded people, even though they may not be from Malaysia, but they can really kickstart something in the country. So I think maybe people might not be aware of it, but there is these kind of ongoing initiatives which has done well for the country. And of course, I think that there's still a long way for us to go, but I think the outlook is positive, I feel. I mean, as I mentioned, the support that we receive, and I think people are, just rating it back to my own personal experience, when people were forced to stay at home, and I mentioned it earlier, your first option to look for a lot of things, be it even ordering food, shopping. Now I'm mentioning specifically for a charity, it all has to incorporate technology. So we can't deny that people have gotten accustomed to this new way of life, the new norm, you call it, right? So we have to be prepared for that. Even though we are able to go back to most of these locations, offices and schools and malls, there's still a huge part of our population that prefers to stay at home and do things at their fingertips. Yeah. So I think the outlook is positive for me.
Yeah, and definitely, I guess, industries such as yours, Islamic fintech or anything involved in technology is definitely here to stay.
Yep, inshallah.
So I guess as a last question, what is the pipeline for the company? And what are your hopes for the company and also for the industry as a whole?
Sure. Okay, let's start with Global Sadaqah. So I mentioned just now just a couple of currencies that we accept, be it the normal fiat currencies. Definitely, as I said, we want to cast the net even wider. We will, inshallah, introduce more options from more countries to use their own local currencies to transact. In addition to that, we also want to add more cryptocurrencies. I think at the moment we've got 7 options, but people are holding all sorts of different types of cryptocurrencies to give them that option also to do good. So that's also one that we intend to explore. And back to transparency. The next stage of transparency that we want to reach one day is to build our platform to be on the blockchain. So people will have that option to have a look and see things very clearly. Full transparency, there's no dispute. It's on a blockchain, they can see it for themselves. So we want to move to that level. I'm not sure whether the whole sector, specific to the charity sector, is ready for it. But even for this, the potential is endless. Let's say we help to build a masjid, we help to build a well. We can put it on the blockchain and people will have that sense of comfort. Okay, I donated to this well. Where is it on the blockchain? And of course, let's go even a bit wider out of Malaysia, where there are countries where our brothers and sisters, they own land and they want to give it to Wakaf. But unfortunately, maybe some of these countries, they don't recognize as how, alhamdulillah, Malaysia, we have the authority to take care of these Wakaf assets. Yeah. But if it's on the blockchain, there's no dispute. Even if they said, the law of land says this is my land. I said, no, I've registered it. It's clear cut. It's there. So these are the things that we want to be part of. In addition to that, because alhamdulillah, Global Sadaqah, despite being around since 2018, and we've been doing a lot of things globally and locally. You know, we've been recognized and appointed recently by PPZ, WP's Pusat Zakat, as one of their amils to collect zakah for the state of WP. So of course, with that, our pipeline of ideas in line with that, maybe provide a bit of zakah advisory surveys, zakah calculator, and things that revolve around that, you know, wasiyah and such. That's among things. We want to also launch a global well project. Mm-hmm. You want to build a well in this part of the world, we have that campaign for you. Those are some of the things that we have in the pipeline. But of course, one thing that we have kind of launched and is still in, I would say, the early stage, you know, we are starting to explore the concept of interest-free loans, in other words, Qard Hasan. What you lend is exactly what you get in return.
Yeah.
But we want it to be spurring the micro SMEs to continue with their businesses. And they are usually from the B40 communities, where if they want to access your traditional financial products, they will say, where is your credit history? In order for them to get credit history, they need to have financial products. It's a catch-22. So we want to see whether we have started something where we have raised some funds. We're working with another tech company where they will provide an alternative credit scoring system where they will develop a way for one day, hopefully the financial system will recognize this guy is a good customer for our other products. Yeah. In addition to that, we want to make it a bit more closed loop. This funds that is given to them as an interest-free loan, it doesn't come up as cash. It goes into a tax system towards a digital e-commerce platform. They get it as a form of credit. They are trained to sell certain packages of types of food that has been known. Good sales, good returns, just focus on selling. Mm-hmm. And then the so-called repayment will come. These are tech elements that we can help spur the economy, help these individuals. Because I'll be honest with you, there are even the likes as young as 18-year-old ladies, for example, want to help the family. They want something as low as 1,500 ringgit to kickstart a business. Mm. There are not many institutions that will lend that to them. So we hope to address that gap. Those are some of the campaigns that we are also supporting. And we are doing a lot of support for our brothers and sisters around the world. We have launched a Palestinian campaign. Mm-hmm. We have launched a campaign in regard to education.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier, if you want to plant a tree in the Borneo region, we've got that option for you. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, just at the tip of fingers, the last year we have definitely launched consistently new campaigns almost every other week. Something new for you to choose from almost every other week.
That's awesome.
So we will keep on continuing this, inshallah, for the long run.
Yeah. So there you have it. That was Mr. Ifran Tarmizi, CEO of Global Sadaqah, changing lives digitally through charity. I'm here at Expo 2020 Dubai, covering Malaysia Digital Economy Week, and behind me is the Malaysia Pavilion. I'm Farhana Sheikh. See you again.